Hello. If we just give everyone a chance to join, I'll start introductions and stuff in one moment. Hello.
Hi.
Can
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Kahit. How do I address you? This is Chit Ming from Malaysia.
So I'm Jahit, actually. I'll do a proper introduction in a moment. If we just give people a couple of moments to join, and
sure,
then I'll introduce myself fully, and we can get going. Just, how is everybody? Where are people dialing in from today?
I'm dialing from Bangkok.
Welcome. I'm in London. What's the weather like in Bangkok?
Sorry?
What's the weather like in Bangkok?
It's pretty hot.
Where are everybody else dialing from? I mean, if your microphones are off, you can turn them on. And if you want to put your videos on, it'd be good to see faces.
London here. Hi.
I'm in London as well. Apparently, we're going to have a storm again this afternoon in London.
I'm also in London.
I'm just up the road in St. Albans. Hello.
Hello.
I'm in Spain, in Girona.
And what's the weather like in Girona?
A bit cloudy right now, but nice.
I'm in Spain too, Valencia, and it's a sunny day.
If I make a start, what I'll do is I'll give a brief introduction to myself. We won't necessarily have a chance to go around and introduce everybody, but what I will ask is, as you speak for the first time, just say your name. And if you haven't already told me, kind of call your story. I was just going to say also, if you have a lot of background noise, then do mute yourself. But remember to unmute when you go to speak. And this is meant to be a dialogue, a discussion. So don't sit there on mute for the whole hour. Do get involved. So I'm Jahit. I am a CPCC. I've done the core curriculum and I'm certified. I've also done the CTI leadership program and I was on the faculty run through of the CLE, so the new 3-day leadership experience. So when it comes to CTI's programs and courses, I've done everything that they've currently got on offer. I am a leadership coach, so I coach mostly. But I also do facilitate workshops and I run webinars and things like this for CTI. I also call myself a storyteller and I use storytelling in my coaching a lot. That's me. I suppose my background was publishing and I started coaching properly really about 3 years ago and transitioned 3 years ago from publishing into coaching full time. This session is about embodiment and about how we use embodiment or how we can use embodiment in our coaching. I know it's a place of discomfort and stretch for a lot of us, including myself. I would say that unconsciously I'm very embodied, and then when I am conscious about it, I become a bit paranoid, a bit like, oh, really self-aware. And I know that I have to do my own work around what embodiment means and what I learn from the information in my body in order to be able to hold my clients in that place. And so it's always a constant stretch zone and a constant place of stretch for me. One of the things that I really believe is that we all experience life physically. And in the email that went out, the invitation, I say that we experience just walking down the street wind on our skin is a physical sensation, and it's how we live in our bodies. And at its most basic, that is what embodiment means to me, just how we live in our bodies. Opening the floor to you guys, what does embodiment mean to you, and where do you find embodiment in coaching simple, and where do you find it a stretch? And anybody can step forward and speak now.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, for me, it's I think recognizing a lot of how things are affecting me as well. And instead of being afraid of certain things that come up, be it stress symptoms or whatever, which I've had a lot in my life, is to use it as a barometer and say, what is all this telling me? Yeah. And helping other people who aren't used to being in touch with their bodies at all, or maybe they do, but they don't know what's there, to help them to sort of look at things differently, read what's going on, and anticipate sort of what might be happening if they're stretched too far in one direction or not. So it's going from not just noticing, but then kind of actively using your body to find good things, to find things that work for you, and bringing it all into every aspect of life, I think.
And I love what you say, because the first step is noticing, and the second step is choosing to hear.
Yes. I think where it's difficult for me, the second part of your question, is I can do those sort of things quite naturally, but then diving in and the whole bit of, right, you're suffering from stomach aches. Let's go in there and see what's in there, because that's probably the more stretch. Not that it hasn't been effective for me, but it's taken a lot longer to be able to connect with that sort of work. And I would say the deep dive, maybe.
And so in terms of, at this point, looking at it from your perspective, personally rather than coaching right now?
I would say both.
Okay.
Because I find it difficult, I can't help but wonder if that's why it's a challenge for me to take other people there, because I can't naturally see the efficacy. That's not right, because I do believe it works. I'm just not quite sure, since I'm not so good at doing it myself.
And I love what you're saying, because what you're talking to is we can't take our time somewhere that we find difficult to go or that we haven't been.
Yes.
And this is range again. Mm. But ultimately with embodiment, I find that for a lot of us, the difficulty really begins with where we take ourselves, as you say. And so when we can't do that deep dive, when we can't hear the information in our body, then we can't really hold the hand of our clients as they try to listen. So I love what you're talking to. What practices do you have, or how do you kind of stretch into this space, or this embodiment? What do you do to grow your range here?
Yeah, that's a good question. Not well enough is the answer.
And everything is enough. Everything is
enough. Yeah, well, yeah, that's a really good question, because I think setting time aside just to open that space to see what comes, recognizing that if it's not something I'm used to doing, it might take longer to connect with it. So don't feel foolish sitting there going, okay, what's there? I don't know, nothing, right? But leaving that space for the practice of bringing it more in fully.
Yeah, and it is a practice. And one of my core beliefs around everything is that everything is a practice, and that when you classify something as a practice, it isn't about getting it perfect or having it wrong. It's about doing it and making it a routine, a habit, a practice, something that we get better at.
Yeah.
And wherever we are today is fine. I suppose what I also want to kind of broaden this conversation out into is, because we are co-active coaches, the model. And actually one of the cornerstones is the whole person. Co-active coaching is a holistic approach. And the whole person includes the body. It includes every role that we play in life. It includes our mind, it includes our heart, but it also includes our body. And so to really stand tall in the model and to really hold those cornerstones in every moment of our coaching, we have to be coaching the whole person. And so that does bring in embodiment. How does that work in each of your coaching? How do you live that whole person cornerstone in relation to embodiment as you coach your clients? And anyone can jump in.
Well, can I jump in?
Yes.
So my name's Alison Maitland. We haven't met before, but I've watched one of your webinars already, and I'm hoping to watch lots more. I really enjoy them.
Welcome.
And thank you. And I think this whole area of embodied coaching is very, very exciting, because I've seen sort of body-based coaching happening and done a little bit myself, but I don't feel experienced at it at all. But it's incredibly powerful at it's sort of getting at the essence of getting very quickly at the essence of something. Also, I think we learn very directly through our bodies rather than the much more indirect way that we learn through our heads, sort of analyzing and processing and so on. And I think this whole sort of alignment between, you know, the brain intelligence in the brain and in the body that's in the heart and in the gut, and how you align all of those is a really exciting new area. And being aware of what's going on in your own body right now, I'm feeling really excited, and my heart's beating really fast because I'm talking to you. But it's a sort of positive excitement. I'm really kind of keyed up. But being aware of that in yourself, and then being able to understand that in the client, and just sort of go into that, and what does that tell you? It's incredibly powerful. That's what I'm finding, and I'm really enjoying it. And there's another area where I find it really useful, is understanding my own sort of strengths based on my body strengths, which is part of a program I'm doing, which is run by Coactive trained coaches. It's called Collective Leadership. Understanding your strengths and where they sort of lie in your body, which is aligned with the chakras and so on, enables you to use that strength to sort of warm up for something. So in my case, I'm going to stand up. But for me, if I am getting into maybe speaking to people or something like that, if I just do a little bit of a dance and, you know, sort of move around like that, I immediately feel more powerful, more in me, more genuine. So, yeah.
Thank you. And I just want to ask you a few questions in terms of what happened when you stood up and did your little dance now. What shifted? So you said your heart was beating quite fast because you were speaking. What changed when you did your little dance?
I think I felt more sort of, I feel more connected, you know, the whole of me feels more connected. And I also feel that I'm showing another part of me than my brain, my thinking part, which is very sort of strong. And so I'm sort of showing the fun and liveliness and connection with people in a more direct way than if I just talk, I think. Yeah.
And also, what do you connect to in yourself when you do that? Because it feels to me that there's an intimacy with self in that movement.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's a very good question. Yes. Yes. It feels, it feels as if I'm connecting the whole of myself. So I think that's it. Yeah, that it's more sort of in my body. It's more, you know, the lower part of my body, and just feeling more sort of grounded and connected with the earth and with the environment and you all. Yes, I think that's what it is.
I love that. I love that, because for me also, connecting into our bodies and feeling one with ourselves is also about feeling one with more than ourselves as well. Recognizing our wholeness, but also our connection and the wholeness of nature, the world, the communities we live in. So I love what you're talking to right there. And thank you for standing up and dancing.
I had to do it, sorry, I just had to.
That takes courage and vulnerability, yeah. Because part of the reason that we are, or we find embodiment difficult is because we're so self-conscious, we're so concerned with looking good. And I don't mean that in a vain way, but we don't want people to judge us. And so to stand up and dance, even though it's a beautiful thing to watch and for you to connect yourself with, our saboteurs come out and we're like, oh no, what will I look like? And that's quite a powerful saboteur for me, at least. And I make up for quite a lot of us. And that's why we find this quite difficult, because to really engage with our bodies, we do need to stand up and dance. We do need to really move and be at one with our movement. So thank you. Thank you for bringing that. Kind of opening it up to everybody else. What do people notice about themselves in this moment as we're having this conversation about embodiment? What physical sensations are you recognizing in yourself right now? And anyone can step forward. I'm happy to ask people to, but take.
Can I say something then?
Yeah.
So I'm feeling a little uncomfortable right now, just not major panic, but just that sort of, oh, I don't know if I can do that. It's a milder feeling. And you know, my concerns around the embodiment thing is I just feel very self-conscious with it, certainly on the training. And now I do all my coaching by telephone, and I suppose I, you know, my questions would be around how you do that. You know, maybe not having the audience is actually easier, but then how to do it in a way that still feels authentic, where you're not just faking, pretending to do it, because, you know, where you're not physically with your client.
So we can do it now, and I can ask some of the questions, and I'm not going to coach you, but I can ask some of the questions that I use, and I just did as well. It's like, what are the physical sensations that you feel? And you spoke to the kind of mild anxiety or whatever the words were. So what, where do you feel that sensation? How do you notice that in your body?
So that is sort of a bit higher than stomach, below the boobs. It's sort of, yeah, it's the, I guess it's the gut, kind of the gut, the place where I would say is my gut feel, but it's, yeah, I don't quite know how to describe it. It's a sort of butterfly-y, agitated feeling, not a paralyzing, incapacitating feeling.
And it's, I kind of feel that now, I suppose, because maybe there's nerves in me, and I'm projecting my level one to you, but what you're saying really resonates. There's kind of in my sternum that butterfly feeling. So what's the information for you in that? What do you notice, and what do you know because of those fluttering butterflies?
It's, I guess what I recognize is that it's telling me, it's a familiar feeling, and these fears are familiar, and they were with me, you know, through the training for some of it, and particularly balance, which of course was the, you know, that was my hardest module. So I guess what I'm at an intellectual level, I'm feeling this is telling me that I need to stretch into it, but it's the doing of it, you know, it's translating that from the feeling into some sort of action.
And what's the emotional knowledge here, or the emotional intelligence?
Okay, what came into my head is stop being such a scaredy cat.
And you're laughing now. What's in the laughter?
Because I can see the stupidity of it. I mean, I move, well, stupidity is too harsh, but, you know, I move throughout my life. I have teenage kids, you know, I'm racing around the place. I'm not the person that sits still very often. So why am I struggling so much with things that involve movement? And I think, I guess what I'm realizing is it is to do with the audience in some way.
Mm.
So not just doing it, but being observed doing it.
So, and I won't push it further because this isn't a coaching session, but then actually this is quite tough. And so there's already a stretch for you there, and well done. But I think that that is kind of the point around this subject. It is about stretching ourselves. It is about being brave and being vulnerable and speaking up to the feelings that we have, and also standing up to the feelings that we have, because it is embodiment. So let's embody them.
Thank you.
And the three things that I often talk about around embodiment in my coaching are sensations, emotions, and intentions. Because one of the things that I am aware of is I need to meet my clients where they are. I also need to meet myself where I am. And actually, I feel, and jump in if you disagree or have anything to add to this as well, I feel that asking someone what the physical sensations are is actually a question that we can all answer. It doesn't feel like it's way out there. It doesn't feel like I'm asking people to really get into their bodies in a way that's too alien to them, but actually it's asking them to notice what their gut is telling them right now, or is their heart pounding? Are their hands sweaty? Just notice these physical sensations, which comes back to Corey's point at the very beginning, notice. And then for me, the next step around, well, what are the emotions? It's making a connection. So when my hands are sweaty, how do I feel? Oh, actually, it's anxiety, or it's fear, or it's love, or whatever it might be. And then making that connection so that, oh, when I get sweaty palms, these are often the things that I feel. And then for me, the next step is, well, what then is your intention? So you've noticed the physical sensation, you've connected it to an emotion. What do you want to do with that? And my experience is that can be quite powerful. It doesn't necessarily always have those three steps in one session. And it is a journey of connecting to your body, understanding it, and then making some kind of connection, join some kind of dots. And from there, then I can start being a little bit more adventurous. But how do you bring in embodiment to your sessions with clients who might be resistant, or even if they're not resistant, who find this work a little bit alienating? And how do you overcome your own resistance in order to have kind of full range with the person in front of you in a coaching relationship? Don't
okay, I'll go.
Okay.
Thank you, Raquel. Jump in.
Yeah, well, when sometimes the clients are very expressive, it's really useful. It's like going through level three, and just I feel that I embody the conversation. My choice in that case is really easy. I just dance with her. It's like moving and just sharing. But sometimes you find clients that, for me, it's like a flat line. It goes like that. And I feel like I want to shake them, and that moment is really difficult because I'm very expressive and I don't want just to push them to do something that is not natural in them as it is in me. So in that moment, that's my difficult part. I really are in the field, noticing how I can get to them, but then that makes me go to level one. So I try again. Being aware that I'm not doing what I should do, and is listening to their bodies. So with that kind of clients, I struggle a little bit. When it's natural, I just flow. So.
I love what you're saying there, because actually, what you're talking to is the fact that you're embodied and you can do that work with people who are willing to go. But actually, sometimes it's hard to take someone from where they are to a place that you sense that they need to get to. And what this brings up for me is we're always holding our clients' agenda. We don't decide where to go for them. We want them to go where they want to go. But actually, we believe in the model then we also have a belief that that connection to body, holistic connection, is important to evoke transformation. And so how do you, Raquel, then get out of your level one with those clients, be where they are in order to hold their hand and take them to a new place that is stretching and uncomfortable, but don't kind of not necessarily filled with fear? Does that make sense, that question?
For me, yeah, it makes sense. And I just stopped myself because, as you said, I just want them to go when they are prepared. So from an action coaching, I just stop and listen and look at them. So I don't follow my rhythm, but theirs. And if they need more time to get there, it might not get into movement in just one session. I just try to analyze what is going on for them and not trying to push them where it should be interesting, because maybe they don't need to go there in that moment. So what I do is just respect their time. But I don't know how to make them be more aware of their body. I just make questions about how do you feel, what do you notice in your body, and that's the only thing that right now I'm doing with them.
Mm. And may I speak to that? May I jump in?
Yes, please do.
Because something there really resonates. I work, many of my clients are academics, as I am also an academic, and so very much in their heads, and I got some really useful advice from a supervisor in my certification training based on listening to some tapes where I try to bring a client to embodiment and the client brings it back to, you know, the head or says, oh, I'm not experiencing much. And it seems like a bit of a failure. Oh, I'm not getting much from, you know, you're asking me to tune in. There's nothing there. And my supervisor said, you know, you can think of it as building a new pathway in the brain. So you have to sort of meet the client where they are, but also not give up or not think like, oh, because they don't get something, that means embodiment is not working for them ever, or is lost on them, or the model doesn't hold. So she encouraged me to keep trying. Of course, you know, you feel you're still dancing in the moment. So sometimes you retract and sometimes you try it. You lean in, you go for it again. But she had challenges for me like, okay, every session you build in three times where you go to embodiment. And just like over time, you know, much like Raquel, you were saying, giving your client time to develop with that. And I noticed that really can happen. So I feel kind of trusting the model in this, and then, I suppose that image of building pathways in the brain has been really helpful to me, to not give up and keep trying.
And what comes up for me as you say that is the whole point of meeting the client where they are is not to go and join them, but to take them somewhere else. That's the whole transformation piece. Because if you're just going to go and join them, then there's no point in coaching them. And also when you're talking, what comes up for me is, when our clients say it's not working for them, what does that do to our saboteurs around this topic? And so what does it do to your saboteur when you're working with an academic and you're trying to bring in embodiment and they're telling you this doesn't work? Where does it take you and how do you overcome that?
Again, I think for me, really, once my supervisor put that image up in my head of building a pathway, it became much easier. Because now I don't think of it as, oh, this isn't working. I think of it as, okay, you know, as part of the dance that we're doing, we're getting here today. And so, okay, we're going to change our steps a little bit and then try again. So I'm not at the moment very hung up on embodiment attempts that don't immediately work. Also because, and this builds on something Corey was saying earlier. I think embodiment is not an easy thing for me either, but through the CTI training, I've come to believe in it so much that I think that almost like whenever I can try to sneak in an embodiment exercise or something, even if it doesn't work, it's already a kind of a win.
Yeah.
Because it's so important, especially with the kinds of clients I work with. So, yeah. So I think what I'm telling you is my saboteur has backed off of that to quite a significant extent because of, and that image of building the pathways in the brain has done a big job for that to happen.
And so what was the impact of the embodiment in the core curriculum and through your CTI training?
I don't understand your question.
So you were speaking about how the training has helped you really see the power of embodiment. And someone earlier mentioned balance, and I know balance is a very embodied module, but it's not the only one. We have embodiment in fulfillment. We have it in process, and synergy is full of body work. So it's throughout the curriculum. Of it on you. How did it help your journey to where you are right now?
Mm-hmm. Expanding range in a big way. And really help with vulnerability, because I think, you know, as an academic, so my comfort zone is also thinking, analyzing, so listening to somebody and then like giving comments back to the conversation. Initially felt much easier, but I think as a coach I have much more to offer, and as a person it's also, as you hint at it in your question, it's also about living life more fully for myself. So the whole I love the concept of range. Synergy was my favorite module of them all because it's so playful, and I think it's really key part of what I can offer my clients as a coach, and also really important for my own continuous growth.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question or put an idea out there, because I don't really know what the answer is, but. And I was thinking about about a particular situation where it was, I suppose it was more like a kind of group coaching situation where everybody had been kind of dancing or doing exercises of one kind or another, but mostly dancing, which involved sort of dancing with each other or just dancing, doing your own dance in a group, in a circle. And it was clearly very uncomfortable for one or two people there. But afterwards, I just asked one of the guys, you know, he was really just very stiff and he didn't want to move and so on. And I asked him about it. He said, "I really hate dancing. I hate being, you know, I hate being sort of in the spotlight, being seen and moving and all that." And I did ask him, so, you know, what did he like doing physically? What did he enjoy doing physically? And he said, "Well, you know, I love many aspects of physical life. I love going for long walks and, you know, climbing and things like that." And so I was just thinking, maybe one way to get through is to start by saying, "So what do you enjoy physically?" And then just, you know, embody that for me. So, you know, if it's climbing or whatever, just embody the feelings embody that, show me, and then talk about the emotions that evokes. Do you think that is, a solution for maybe for somebody who is really, really buttoned up or very stiff and resistant?
So I think that's a brilliant example of meeting the client where they are. Because actually what you're talking to is, even if somebody says they're not comfortable with embodiment, actually we all live embodied lives. Like, our bodies are key to how we get about day to day. And we all have some form of physical embodiment. And what you speak to is, you find that in your client and you give them access to awareness around that. It's easy for us to go to dancing and performance, because we've all been trained in kind of coactive coaching, and coactive coaching was designed, or one of the founders of it was a trained actor. So there's an element of performance in all of what we've done, but actually that isn't true or comfortable for a lot of people. So you have a brilliant example of meeting your client in the space that they understand physical embodiment.
Okay, good.
What comes up for other people then with Alison's example?
For me, that's a really, really good idea, because sometimes when I think about my difficulties around embodiment, and I think when someone says, what do you feel in there? Automatically, I'm like, what? You know, it's just nothing, go away. But if you take me to somewhere where I'm already comfortable going, or I like, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day about different channels to get to similar places. And that to me feels like a really good channel to get people past that edge, right? Of, I don't know what you're talking about, to out of your brain, into your body very quickly. It seems like it would just open up many doors.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I love the example that you give, like when someone says, how do you feel? Ironically, that sometimes takes you to thought and all you can do is think. It's like, oh shit, how do I feel? And you're in your head, and we think because we use the word feel, it's not a heady question. But for so many of us, the word feeling becomes a place.
Yeah, and you know, that brings up something really interesting, Joheed, is that noticing what takes clients to the headspace as opposed to not. Yeah. And that happened with a client the other day. She was in such an emotional place. I started down one path and you could see she just completely freaked out. And I went, cool, so let's go to where you are. And I think that's a great, really, really good illustration of kind of noticing and taking that a step further and saying, how do you notice when people just go right into their brains? Yeah. And say, okay, so for you, that's not a good channel to get into your body. So let's play around with what is a good channel.
And also a great example of non-attachment, noticing that you've gone down a route that isn't resonant for your client. Mm. Stopping and not trying to flog a dead horse.
Yeah.
And being unattached is also a place of difficulty for a lot of coaches. So that's a great example. And what it brings up for me actually is, how do we listen to our bodies as coaches? So we've really spoken about embodiment in terms of giving that as a gift to our clients, really taking our clients somewhere with their bodies or their understanding of their bodies. And I think that generally the sense I get is that we all understand we need to meet our clients where they are, and we all understand that our clients are in different places. So then for me, the challenge becomes is, well, how do we know from our bodies what to do? If we're expecting our clients to listen to theirs, how do we listen to ours as coaches?
Would you mind if I just, sorry, hi. Would you mind if I just ask a question back before we move on to that?
Yep, totally.
My real thing with embodiment where I struggle is less in kind of getting the clients to tune into what's going on, but it's when you have to do like stand up, and it's like my saboteurs just really come out as soon as I'm asking them to, like, you know, stand up, like be in that energy, like trying to get them to go there. I have this thing that just comes up where I'm like, they're just not going to get this. The only people that get this are the people that have done the training with you. Like, this is weird. They're going to, and I just then, so I just don't do it. And so I just have a question around that, really.
Well, I was going to throw a question back at you, sorry for interrupting, but do you believe in it? Like, what does your saboteur say to you? If I was coaching you and I said, stand up, what would your saboteur say to you? And actually now, stand up. What happens when I ask you to stand up?
Stand up. Yeah, I'm like, oh my god. See, actually, okay, hi. I'm feel that I'm okay with embodiment, but I worry that it's just, I don't know what it is. It's because I'm naturally very expressive, but I know that not everyone is.
Yeah.
And so I feel sometimes maybe I'm like forcing myself or, but I, yeah, I don't know, maybe that's it.
So what does your saboteur say to you? So you're coaching, you ask your client to stand in their leadership pose or whatever it is. So
yeah.
They're embodying something, they're captain, they're leader, something that you've worked on with them and they have a pose for.
Yeah.
What then does your saboteur say to you? Is that question's about to fly out of your mouth? What's the self-talk?
The self-talk is like, don't say that, Gabby. This is just taking, like, they're going to think this is really strange. No one wants to just, like, they're happy sitting where they are. They don't want to stand up and act out something.
And what do you notice about you and your body in those moments? Because obviously at that point, you're in your level one, your saboteur's here.
Yeah.
And as a coach, that's fine and you need to recover. But what do you notice? Your saboteur saying, what are you doing, Gabby? What's going on for you physically?
Like fear. Like, I think I'm just a bit like, ooh. Like reclining.
And so all of that is in the level three. Yeah. All of that is there for the client to sense and to take.
Mm.
And not to make you wrong, actually. Because what you could do is name that to the client. Say, I sense that this is a place of fear.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really interesting.
How does that land? Yeah, well.
Like, yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, I like that. I like that. So just like going into it, but in just a different way.
Hmm. Because, I mean, one of the things that I really believe is whatever is in our level one is also in the level three of the space with our client. And so name it. It's just an articulation of your intuition, of something your body is telling you. So it might be your saboteur here saying, Gabby, don't do that, what are you doing? Or it might be you sensing something, and it might just be some intuition that, let me name it. I'm going to ask you to stand up, but I get a sense that that might be tough.
Mm.
Or there might be resistance here, but just trust me, go with it.
Thank you.
Is that, does that help? Is that something that you think?
That's really helpful. Yeah, totally. That's really, really helpful. Thank you very much.
Does anyone else have any kind of, I don't want to say solutions, because obviously we're collective coaches. We don't solutions, but any other things that you do in those moments when your saboteur or your body's telling you this might be a space of discomfort? How do you make it acceptable for your client to step into that pain or discomfort or fear?
Oh, sorry. Yes, yes, okay.
No, go on, Heather. Go on.
No, I can wait.
No, go ahead.
So I sort of see it as part of my job to take people new places. And so I have to be willing myself to take them new places. I took a mindfulness workshop, and I can really recommend that, because one learns some techniques. Like, if a client is really struggling with embodiment, you can say, focusing on the breath. A lot of us are familiar with that. Or you just drank something. Take a sip of water, taste, what's the temperature of the water? How does it go? Feel it go down your throat? You know, just something really, really simple, and just have them practice with something simple like that. But there's a lot of learning in the discomfort, right? And we have to trust that also when we take our client. And just also, you can design alliances around it. I work with academics too, so what you said resonated with me a lot on the academics in their heads, like, this is going to be different from your everyday. That's why it's coaching. That's why we're here. We're taking some time for something new. Maybe it won't work, but we need, you know, so let me know if it's too much, but let's try, you know, and being detached from the outcome and just, but really with the breath, focusing on the tip of the nose. How does the tip of your nose feel? You know, there's some kind of little things you can bring in for just, let's experiment and bringing that playfulness in to try to just really work on that. But for me, with my discomforts with it, I don't know, I guess I put on my, okay, now I'm being a coach. So it's this self-management around, maybe there are some things that I will be feeling weird for me too. But that's how I help my client. So I go there because that's what the service of the client is about. Maybe that's helpful.
Really helpful, really helpful. Because actually embodiment is those little things as well. It is that drink of water. So you notice I had a drink of water. What does that feel like as you swallow? Like I can hear the swallows. And it is mindfulness, and it totally is. It's bringing awareness to just the little things that we do. And I think that when we learn all of this in core curriculum, we're doing big things. We are doing a lot of movement. And so I suppose the temptation is to go to that big place. But actually what you're talking to is that embodiment is in every single movement of every person. So what does it mean? You can't see it, but I'm talking with my hands right now. What's going on for me? Why are my hands moving? How does that feel?
Yeah.
What are the sensations that I notice? So I love what you're saying, and thank you for linking it back to mindfulness, because I think for us as coaches, we also need to be mindful about this. And so what are our mindfulness practices around our own bodies, and how does that increase our range? So I don't know, Heather, if you've got any examples of things that you did on that course or that you do to keep broadening your own range around this topic.
I can share one just yesterday. I had a workshop with about 10 women in science, and it was about negotiation strategies, but it came into negotiation partner being aggressive, yelling. Basically, these are middle level scientists with bosses who are sometimes choleric and narcissistic, and I guess there's yelling. So I decided to experiment, and I said, okay, let's play act this. You're you, and I'm this yelling boss. So I scream at you and I lunge forward, and I want you to just mirror me and tell me what you're hearing me say. It took a while. I did it with two different women, but then I noticed what happened to me. So it's like, I want you here 5 days a week, you know, for a part-time job. I want you to work for free. And I had her say, I'm hearing you say you want me to work for free, with the same voice, you know, and moving forward. And she was uncomfortable, but she did it. And I noticed my reaction was, huh, you heard me. You know, that it's not my personality to be like that. But by embodying this character that I haven't met, that this client has, this workshop participant, then I realized, oh, she heard me. And I reported that to the room, but I had never done that before, and it might've failed. And I don't know if that would really work in an actual setting for them, but I think this idea of mirroring what you're hearing, what you're understanding from the other, is something about understanding. Mm-hmm. We learned it in coaching training to listen, to mirror, you know, and then we get into the embodiment of our client by mirroring. What are they doing with their hands right now, right? And that somehow brings some understanding and to help a client feel that. So I think it worked. I got learning out of it. I hope that the group did, but they were very enthusiastic. So that's an example. Just try. It might fail, but it might work.
And I mean, I've just got learning out of that, and lots of light bulbs have gone on for me, because actually, underneath this conversation, when we talk about meeting our clients where they are, there's an assumption that they find embodiment difficult. But actually, what about clients that do not find it difficult and actually are more evolved around embodiment than we are? We still have responsibility to meet them where they are. How do any of you find yourselves behaving or coaching in that situation? And I think, Heather, your example is a great one of that, is that in that workshop, you had to meet that demo client where she was. Otherwise, you weren't going to take her anywhere. And so you had to do something that was new to you. You had to be willing to be vulnerable and willing to fail in order to meet her where she was. Have any of you got any examples of that around any coaching or training that you've done related to this topic?
The one thing that strikes me about that is more about kind of your mood of the day. If you know, it's that self-management of, you might go into a coaching session tired and someone else is really enthusiastic and trying to, or embodying everything and trying to meet them on their plane, kind of going the other way. I don't know if that's what you're asking, but just kind of throwing off the shackles of saying, it doesn't matter where I am, but what this person needs now is for me to really be there physically with them and stretch them even more if possible. But then again, that's kind of losing attachment to where I am or what I might be feeling for the next hour or hour and a half or whatever. I'm theirs. And just kind of having that reminder of going into any session, just again, I think that goes back to the idea of range that we were talking about before, but range with embodiment there of whatever needs to happen in that, I'm ready for it, yeah. I think.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, because also it's, well, we need to be at level two and level three, and my level one might be really tired, but right now I have to be at those other two levels for that client. My level one is present, but it isn't important. I'm of service to my client. And what you're saying is sometimes we just need stronger ways to recover. And what comes up for me is the other two cornerstones that I haven't really spoken about is dancing in this moment and naturally creative, resourceful and whole. A dance actually has a leader and a follower, and sometimes the client leads. And actually, maybe on those days where we're tired and exhausted, it's saying to the client, you lead me now. Take the lead. I'm going to dance with you, and you take me somewhere, knowing that they're NCRW and that actually they will take you somewhere that they need to go as well. And actually all of the work of bringing embodiment into that client is not just for the coach. The client also has responsibility there. So that's something that I'm definitely going to try. I kind of want my next coaching session to be one where I'm tired and I kind of pass the baton and so I can see what happens.
That brings me back to something I was thinking earlier, is we're not just learning from each other and ourselves, but we're learning from our clients as well. So I was thinking about my own resistance sometimes to going places, because my own natural resistance, well, I found that difficult. And just opening, again, taking everything off and saying, what can I learn when I do have a client who's so embodied? And as you say, taking that on as a, how far can I stretch this so that they're at a stretch? Because that's very different than my stretch. So learning from all of our clients as well.
Certainly. I love what you're saying, because the coaching relationship is an equal one. And the coach is not an expert. And so how do we stand tall in our own authorship as a coach, knowing that the client can also lead us and be the place of learning in the relationship, without it then affecting our saboteurs to say, oh, shit, I was meant to take the client somewhere. Well, actually, sometimes a client takes themselves there and you go along for the ride. You ask your powerful questions and you show up in a principle. But they lead the dance. And as I say the word dance, the thing that comes up for me is that cornerstone is dance in this moment. It's not be present. Because, and it means that dancing in this moment is about presence, but it's very deliberately an embodied movement, dance in this moment. So how does that really, this idea of presence being a physical movement, impact you as a coach or a client or just a person? And anyone who's not spoken, be brave, step forward. It'd be lovely to hear your voices. Or anyone who has spoken, jump in again. Any voice is good enough.
Hi, Jahit, it's me. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Just because I'm in an office, so it's a bit noisy. I just wanted to say, when I do embodiment, there's definitely something about slowing down, which I think we've talked about already. I, in Synergy, I think we did that very well. I remember when we did the walking exercise where you walk fast and then you slow it down and you slow it down. And I think I'm a little bit like Susie in that I'm always rushing around everywhere and I like to walk fast. That's just me. But I think when I'm coaching, there's something around, I have to remind myself to slow down and to just be really in tune with my own body. And it is a mindfulness thing. When I'm not doing that, I find I'm more likely to drop into the level one. So yeah, I think that's my feeling around embodiment. And just giving myself permission. I think there's something really powerful about just being able to have permission to go there. I had a sample session with somebody recently where she was an actor, and so embodiment was something which came very naturally to her. And in that moment, I just thought, I've got to be fiercely courageous, and I just stepped into it, and I knew I had to meet her where she was, which was she wanted to go there, she wanted to play, and so I had to embrace it, and it was wonderful, and we had a really great song session. And I felt very honest and very true, and I think her making me meet her where she was allowed that.
And I think you raise a really important point, Bea. It's about giving yourself permission, full permission to just really play out, and notice actually what things you need to give yourself permission on. And so actually give yourself permission to play out embodiment wise or wherever that stretch is, and make it normal for yourself to do that. So I think that the idea of full permission is really one of us overcoming our own saboteurs, and almost like as we go into each session, it's, I have full permission to coach this person. Like, this person has asked me to coach them, and I am going to really play out as a coach right now. Fuck who I am. Sorry for swearing. I hope that's okay. Like, it doesn't matter who I am outside of this coaching session. I am a coach here, and I have full permission to be their coach. So thank you for bringing that up. We've got a couple of minutes left, so I want to finish on time because I appreciate people are probably in lunch breaks, etc. But are there any questions that people want to ask? I know there's been some chat going on and I've not been very good at following it. So is there anything that was put in the chat that you feel hasn't been answered, or anything you just want to name right now before we end the call? Has it been this comprehensive? Well, I've answered every single question we all may have.
Well, I put a question in the chat because it was for everybody really, but it was just about, you know, whether there are really cultural differences in sort of how comfortable people feel about being embodied or not. And I mean, I think there are, although of course we have to recognize that everybody's an individual and they may not fit their culture and all of that sort of thing. So I just wondered, you know, about being aware of that and sort of allowing for that and so on.
I love that question. What comes up for people? What do people want to throw in here now?
Yes, I'm sure there's massive cultural significance.
One thing that comes to me is I used to do a lot of training in Asia, and there were some that just, mainland Chinese, you know, various ones that just did not want to open up. And I think that for me, I'd only do it for a week, but by the end of the week, they were asking questions and opening up, and it was just modeling was one thing that really helped, because they saw if I could ask questions and sit down with them and do whatever I needed to do, they saw that it wasn't losing face or being, you know, the vulnerability wasn't so terrible. So that was one way to do it. And I think, By understanding where that edge is. So an edge for me is different from them. So not pushing so hard that they're so uncomfortable and going to run away. So it's kind of opening up so that they feel like they're being challenged. But I kind of look at it with nice warm fuzzy gloves, let's say, So really feeling that out. And that's just one way that I've sort of been successful in doing things like that with other cultures, if that helps.
Yeah, thank you. And I think the point that you make around taking them to an edge, so there's some discomfort, but not so far that there's fear, is an important one. We need to be conscious that we are stretching our clients and growing them, because transformation is everything key, but not taking them to a place of fear where they freeze. So thank you for that. What I would like to leave you all with is just actually a little bit of homework, a little bit of noticing, like really notice your body over the forever, but really pay attention over the coming weeks, over what your body does in certain situations. So when you're really connected to your joy, when you're really joyous, what's your body doing? What do you notice physically about your sensations? What do you notice then about the emotions and the intentions that follow through? And then the same when your saboteur is present, what's your body doing? And just become mindful of your body in those kind of key moments. And then start breaking that down to when you're walking, how does it feel when your foot crunches on the floor, or if the rain's touching your skin? Just really be mindful. I think as Heather was saying, be really mindful about the intricacies of your body, from the minutest thing to the biggest physical dances. And just pay attention, journal on it, explore it. See what you learn about you as a coach, but also just as a person, as a whole person. From paying attention to your body really closely over the next couple of weeks. I would love to hear what you discover. So email me, you can contact me via Facebook. However, just let me know what comes up for you and what changes around this topic when you really pay attention to your body. Thank you all very much. I've enjoyed this and I hope to see you all next month.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Good to see you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.